produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen to the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Tuesdays here on the Audio Stash, we focus on medical and patient issues. After breaking news, we'll hear from Dr. Robert Malamede on endocannabinoids in medical facts and breakthroughs. Also, our interview portion today, we'll speak with California medical marijuana patient and well-known activist Steve Covey. We'll have an interview and speeches every day here on the Audio Stash. On Patient Perspectives today, we'll hear from Martin Martinez, author of The New Prescription, Marijuana as Medicine. Music on the program today features Widespread Panic from the Hempalation album. Normal's Audio Stash able to bring you music like no other podcast can offer. Also today, our Tuesday web poll and free stuff giveaway. All here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today from Alaska. Alaska judge requests evidence of potency claims. Alaska Judge Patricia Collins has requested documented evidence from the state of Alaska that marijuana has become dangerously potent in the last 3 decades and it warrants a fundamental change to long-standing state law. The request came Thursday, just 72 hours after the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska filed suit seeking the court to block a new state law recriminalizing marijuana. The ACLU maintains the new law is an unconstitutional invasion of privacy. Governor Frank Murkowski pushed the law, intended mainly to deal with methamphetamine, through the legislature and signed it June 2nd. The bill included a set of findings meant to prove that marijuana has increased in potency since the original Supreme Court decision. The court's ruling in 1975 in Raven versus the state favored privacy rights over criminal penalties for pot possession. In an initial hearing Thursday, Collins asked the state to submit a brief that contains the complete legislative record of the new law. ACLU attorneys will respond with their own documentation that counters Murkowski's claims, said ACLU of Alaska Executive Director Michael McLeod Ball. Collins has set the next hearing for July 5th. She's expected to issue a final order on whether to grant the permanent injunction blocking the law shortly after the hearing. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've assembled a spectacular audio magazine again for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit norml.org. Let's get into our first segment today, Medical Facts and Breakthroughs. Today we'll hear an important talk from Dr. Robert Malamede of the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. We'll hear about the effect of endocannabinoids on the body's homeostasis systems.
Is the physics of life? What is the physics of life? Is there something that, is there a physics out there that we can look at and describe in a relatively simple manner so that it can be shared by all and yet provide concepts that allow us to understand really what is the fundamental nature of life? And in order to do that, we're going to go just very, very simplistically and rapidly through a concept of called far from equilibrium thermodynamics. It's much easier than it sounds. at least the way I can present it. And out of that, we're going to see the development of the concept of homeostasis and what that means. But I want to take homeostasis not only from within our body, but outside of our body, into our social environment and our political environment, et cetera. So from the body perspective, what I want to do is describe health and illness and the relationship of health and illness to homeostasis and how that physics underlies it. And then extend that into what's going on with the cannabinoids, what are they doing, and how do they participate in all of those things. And from that, we'll then go into human behavior, and from human behavior into politics, and then from politics into religion. And And that's the answer. So anyway, far from equilibrium thermodynamics, I put this slide in here on the one hand out of respect, because Ilya Prigozhin was the master behind this. He spent his life developing this theory and philosophy and science and math, and one of the most incredible humans to ever have lived. And this quote from him is very telling. The more deeply we study the nature of time, because he was into time, we don't really know, what's time, you know? We know how to measure it with a clock, but what's really going on there? And he's just come up with some incredible things there. The better we understand that duration means invention, creation of forms, continuous elaboration of the absolutely new. This is really what cannabis is about. So we'll see how that is in a moment. So what I want to do is show you how, from a physical and chemical point of view, energy flows. And when energy flows, it has the most amazing creative capacity. And it's that creative capacity that's behind life. So what I'm going to talk about is something that's a little different from something that you may be familiar with, the term entropy, that disorder must increase, and life is in contrast to that. Well, that's because the old view that would allow you to see in contrast to is really not appropriate. Equilibrium situations, when you move a little bit from equilibrium, entropy, which is disorder, will increase. However, when you are far from equilibrium and energy can flow, we'll see that molecules, innate molecules, have a creative capacity to organize themselves. And it's that organizing capacity that's responsible for life, that is a measure of health, and is manifest in terms of our social, political, economic, communities, families, everything. Everything. Because if things are happening, this is how they happen. All right.
Links to listen in on Dr. Malamede's full talk are up at normalaudiostash.com. Next today, let's get into our interview. We'll speak with California patient and activist Steve Cubby. This interview was originally presented on the Normal News podcast. Steve's work and personal sacrifice are positively realized with every patient in America who now has a doctor-recommended prescription for marijuana as part of their therapy. You're here at the Normal Conference surrounded by a unique group of individuals, and you know, I'm wondering what this experience is like for you.
Big change from a couple of weeks ago when I was cooling my jets at the Placer County Jail in my own private suite. I think the biggest thing that has impressed me about the conference is a sense of community. The sense of we're all in it together, and that's a wonderful, wonderful feeling after someone that's endured incarceration and the whole hopelessness that so many prisoners feel. I was very fortunate that I did a relatively brief period of time. I did 40 days for my possessing a mushroom stem and a guest possessing a couple of peyote buttons. That was out of 120 days that they wanted me to serve. But after 40 days, the sheriff, Sheriff Ed Bonner, came down, shook my hand, told me he was honored to meet me, said they were going to get me out of there. I didn't belong there, that they recognized that I was a leader in a group that had legitimate legal standing because of the law, and that Prop 215 was here to stay, and law enforcement was going to have to accept that. So I immediately wondered if I'd had too much Marinol that day. But sure enough, it was the sheriff. He was shaking my hand. He was saying all those nice things. And I told him, I said, we don't want to be afraid of our police. We don't want to live in a world without police. We really do want to get along with the police. And it's wonderful to hear you recognizing our rights and that we need to have more dialogue. Of course, I should add that when I was first brought into the Placer County Jail, I was very ill. I did not get medical attention. It's an oversight that happens in any kind of a system, but the jail staff certainly heard about it. Hundreds of phone calls. I recall the deputies called me out, and they were all huddled around the monitors and the cameras counting the number of people, and it was 100 or more people smoking marijuana right there in front of the jail. It was, I mean, cats and dogs living together. It was the end of the world. And they came pleading to me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to remember the fear. These big, bad deputies ready to pee in their panties because of all these activists out there. I'm going to remember this moment because I want to communicate the power that we do have when, you know, we marijuana people, getting us to show up for anything is like herding cats. But when you do show up, the police really take notice of that. I mean, they were very intimidated by that. They definitely were counting numbers. And to them, numbers are strength. And strength is something that all police understand and respect. And they certainly treated me with great respect afterwards. And the message that I'd like to get out to people is that when you show up for a demonstration, when you make your body heard, you may see the stone hard face of the system from the outside, but I've seen the big bad deputies with their panties in a wad from the inside, and I'm telling you that this stuff matters, and you create respect for all of us, for yourself and all of us, when you take the time and make the commitment to show up for something like this. I was freed from that first incarceration. It was supposed to be 120 days, and I got off with 40 days. But then they immediately brought me back to talk about punishment for going up to Canada and doing pot TV for 2 years. And that was the more serious offense. I was looking at 3 years for that because, my God, I was up there in Canada. I was on TV. I was promoting marijuana. The great thing is that we were able to get that reduced to 20 days. From 3 years, they went down to 18 months. And then my lawyer, E.D. Lehrman, who I think is just a genius, she got in there and ground them down to 60 days, no, to 90 days. And I said, well, Judge, if I'm supposed to go on home detention for 90 days, I got a family to take care of. I've got a wife and 2 children. I'd rather take 60 days in jail and be able to have that extra time to provide for my family. And the judge wasn't being mean. He says, I'm going to give you your wish. He gave me the 60 days. And compared to what the prosecutors wanted, that was as good a deal as I was going to strike. So I was in for 20 days, and they wouldn't release me. And I got a note from the jail captain, captain of the jail, and he had become a very strong supporter. He said I didn't belong there, and he wanted to do everything to get me out. But he sent me a note saying that he was being directed not to keep me in custody and not give me early release. Well, I know the chain of command, and I know that his boss, and I don't want to be any more specific than that, was blocking things. So I put out a request to the activists. I said, please make your voice heard. I don't think the sheriff knows that I'm still in custody, and we have to let him know. 2 days later, I was informed that the sheriff had been personally advised that I was in custody and had ordered my immediate release. And I'd just be getting out now if it wasn't for the activists stepping in and giving me that kind of assistance. So it really does make a difference. For someone on the inside feeling the enormous pressure and weight, the full force and animosity of a system that's determined to crush freedom, crush cannabis, and crush medical marijuana, to feel that full weight and to see that there's a counterbalancing weight of us on the outside. That is the good news that I bring to this program today.
We've got a link to Steve Cubby's website right at normalaudiostash.com. Take a moment to visit Cubby.com and find out how the hardest working advocates, who are also patients, have borne the brunt of the federal government's continued push for prohibition. Next up today here on the Audio Stash, it's time for Patient Perspectives. Today we'll hear from Martin Martinez. Martin is a medical marijuana patient, activist, and author. His newest book is The New Prescription, Marijuana as Medicine. This is part of Martin's talk on the dispensary panel at the Normal 2006 annual conference. You can hear the full speech. We've got a link at normalaudiostash.com.
I have been, real briefly, I've been a patient since 1996 when I was hit by a car while riding a motorcycle in Los Angeles or Orange County. And so technically I'm a California medical marijuana patient originally, but I've spent most of my time in Seattle, most of my life. I was arrested in 96, just before Prop 215, and I presented a medical marijuana defense. And over the course of 2 years, I had a trial and a couple of arrests, and we developed the medical marijuana law in Washington through, partially through my ordeal as a testament to what is wrong with the prevailing picture at the time. I, at that time, after I was released from my legal obligations, I had been involved with the Green Cross patient co-op quite a bit there at that time, but I left Washington and became a member of the Oakland group with Jeff Jones, and I was one of the 14 patients who asked for permission from the high and mighty Supreme Court if we could please stay alive a little longer. And now we have Angel with these same a little bit more refined arguments, and we're still here hoping that we're going to ultimately prevail in the Supreme Court in the U.S., at least, if not that, we're going to get Congress to do their job and represent the people who support medical marijuana, which apparently is vast. I have some experience with the co-ops and the patient dispensaries, but my experience is a little bit more specific. What we have here with the co-op situation is a group of people who support each other. And the information that we've just seen shows a vast range of the applications of people who are providing cannabis and all of its associated features and applications. And there's a great social network here in California, which is very refreshing. In Washington, society is a little bit less open about this subject, obviously. I spent about 4 years here in the Bay Area and worked with Jeff a little bit and returned to Washington around 2000, just before the Supreme Court pointed their fingers at us and said, no, no, no. And things have gone a bit downhill from there politically. Unfortunately, a lot of people, from my experience, officials and administrators have taken the news blips as policy flags, and where there was a growing openness in Washington during the prevailing Bush years earlier, conservatives had a much greater voice in policy, I think. However, Green Cross, where it is not technically legal under state law to dispense marijuana from one person to another, Green Cross is tolerated. Green Cross has boasted 2,000-3,000 patients at least. It's hard to say. It's a large group affiliated network. We have a co-op situation. The word co-op, of course, cooperative, comes from farming, where farmers join together to market and share their products. But in Washington, this is technically not allowable, even though it's tolerated. Instead, when I returned to Washington, I decided that we were going to have a medical marijuana group that would be entirely legal under the existing state law. There are flaws in the law, which I don't need to go into right now, except as contrast. But the real contrast I want to show here is the difference between a cooperative, which is a, you know, a buyers and sellers, technically, network, and a cooperative, which is also a word derived from farming. But in a cooperative, in a collective, people don't join together to market their wares. They actually farm together. And so what we have with a collective is a bunch of patients who are trying to help each other. And our motto has been patients helping patients since about the year 2000 with the Lifeline group in Washington.
That was activist, author, and director of Lifeline Washington, Martin Martinez, in a speech to the 2006 Annual Normal Conference. We've got links to Martin's newest book, The New Prescription, Marijuana as Medicine, and a link to hear Martin's full speech at the Normal Conference right up on our website, normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, some stash music from the Hempilation 1 album today. Here's Widespread Panic, and It Stoned Me.
Just like General Stone. sang a song, throats are getting dry. Saw a man from across the road, he had a sunset in his eye. He lived all alone in his own little home, he had a great big gallon jar. There were bottles to one for me and you, and he said, hey, there you are.
Spread Panic from the Hempilation One album. It sure is fun every day to bring you headline artists on a podcast only from the Normal Foundation here on the Audio Stash. We'll also feature pod-safe independent artists found up at podshow.com here on the program. Next up today, it's time for our Tuesday web poll. Get ready to vote. Tuesdays here on the Audio Stash, we start our web polling week. We have two web polls every week, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday. And thanks to everybody who cast their vote last week. I hope everybody's got their finger on the mouse, ready to vote right now. Today's web poll is right on the right-hand column of normalaudiostash.com. If you missed the question, here it is. How many of you have attended a marijuana-related event or rally in your lifetime? There's a lot to go to out there. On the West Coast, you got Seattle's Hemp Fest, one of the biggest free music festivals in the country. On the East Coast, you got Boston's Hemp Fest. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Million Marijuana March in May, and local Normal chapters in almost every single state are organizing events all the time. But have you gone out to them? Well, you can be active in many different ways, but I want to know how many folks have gone out there in person to a marijuana event or rally out there. Again, you can vote right on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Get voting out there, folks. It's so easy. Now it's time for the Audio Stash to share the love with our weekly free stuff giveaway. It's Tuesday. It's time to share the love here at Normal's Daily Audio Stash. And thanks to everybody who entered in last week's drawing. Enter yourself in. Vote every single week. You can always have a chance to win a free stash box from Normal's Daily Audio Stash. What are you going to win? Now, a lot of people asked me that in emails last week. Here's what we're going to send on out. We got buttons, we got stickers, we've got books, we've got DVDs, we've got CDs. Here in the future, we're going to have signed books and signed CDs from a whole lot of cool people that you're going to want to have these things from, trust me. But what we're not going to send you, what we're not going to send out from Normal's Daily Audio Stash is, well, you know. So don't expect anything like that out there, folks. We are going to send you some very cool stuff. Here's how you can get some here in our free stuff giveaway. Vote in our weekly web poll. It's in the right-hand column at normalaudiostash.com. This week, we're asking if you've ever been to a marijuana event or rally. Everybody who votes in Tuesday's web poll gets entered automatically into the free stuff giveaway on Tuesdays. Now, here's an even easier way for you to get entered into today's drawing. Send us an email to freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. That's freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. It couldn't get any easier out there, folks. All you have to do is send us that email. You'll be entered in or vote in our Tuesday web poll, and we are going to send you out a really cool box of stuff from the Normal Foundation. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Dr. Robert Malamute, Martin Martinez, and Steve Cubby for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the group Carne Cruda in our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com for all the information about every day's show. That's NormalAudiostash.com. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you enjoyed today's podcast, cast a vote for the Audio Stash at PodcastAlley.com. I'm Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today, and see you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.